Could we begin with your full name, please?
Nicola Howells, but I'm known as Nikki.
Thank you. And could we confirm that I have your permission to record this interview?
Yes.
Thank you, Nikki, and welcome to Paul Satori House and this exciting new project. So, how did Father Satori come into your life?
So, he is related or was related to my father's side of the family. They come from the same area in Italy, the same... I looked online actually at some of the background, and a lot of the Satoris were born and married in and around Bettola, which is the village that my father comes from. So he's always been part of my life. I suppose I remember him most because he came regularly into the convent when I was a child. He was back and forth, but he was equally a regular visitor to our home as family. So he often came for dinner on a Saturday night and would end up sitting in the corner, always in the same chair.
So you have that very special connection in that you were part of his family and he was part of your family.
Yes.
So do a lot of your earliest memories would be from childhood, very early childhood then?
Yes.
Can you remember a particular one from that or those early years? I mean, was he present there for lots of family occasions, for example?
Not so much because we're the only part of our family that came this far west. So our wider family occasions always took place in Cardiff.
Right.
We spent our lives traipsing back and forth at the M4. Well, on the roads, wasn't an M4 then. But on a smaller scale, yes. So obviously the photograph I've got here, my sister's wedding, he was there for that. He was the priest that married them, but the photo was him as family. I can't. The way I see him is sitting in the armchair in the corner of the lounge with a decanter of brandy and a jug of water and his cigarettes and an ashtray by his side, and that's where he always ended up after Saturday dinner. His nephew used to come and stay, but Father Paul didn't want him to stay with them. He used to stay with us.
Okay.
I think he lives in Canada now, John. But his nephew used to come and stay. So Father Paul had a boat down at Black Tar. He kept it. And so it was just a small little dinghy thing with an outboard motor. So when John used to come and stay, he used to come and pick us up of an evening. So I'm one of three. So as three and John, he used to take us all. Mm-hmm. We'd go down. He had a Volkswagen Beetle.
Right.
And we would, and I always want to say it puttered. Kind of went like that, and we'd go down to Black Tar and get in the boat, and we used to go take us over to Lorraine.
All right.
And he would go and sit in the pub in Lorraine and have a couple of pints of Guinness. He was a Guinness man.
Right.
And we'd have bottles of Coke and packets of crisps, and then we'd come back again. So that's the closest we ever had in relation to his family, other than... We always used to call in to see Anthony when we went to Father Paul's brother when we went to Swansea. And my parents were in Bettola, which is my dad's village, and they'd driven over. Bettola's a small village. And they were out walking one day and there was another British car. My father was amazed. He said, "Can we have another British car?" But it was Anthony. And they met him. And that's whose car it was. So... yeah, that's the kind of family side.
So on that family side then, as you say, it wasn't so much the big occasions.
No.
It was the small
family
meals and that kind of thing and the going out on the boat. So
yeah.
What was your impression of him from that early age? Do you always remember him kind of fondly? Was he funny?
He was very funny. He was very good company. He was very lively.
Yeah.
He was a live wire.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he fish off the boat in the...
I don't know. He only ever took us to the pub. I think he might have, but I don't know for definite. But with us, he just took us to the pub.
Right.
And back again.
And back. He always brought us home. Yeah, he always brought us home.
So from moving on to sort of a way outside of the family... What's your, on a sort of personal point of view, what's your sort of feeling about how you would describe him? If you were describing him to someone like us who've never actually met him, what kind of words would you use? What sort of things stick in your mind?
So in many ways, I would say he was typically Italian.
Okay. See, to me, typically Italian would be quite flamboyant, quite kind of using their arms to...
And so he was.
Right.
He had a red Vespa scooter.
Did he really?
Yeah. Bright red.
So he was quite Italian in
yes.
in his character and
yes.
his the way he was as well.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
So that's as I remember him. He was typically Italian. He the Christmas before he died,
mm-hmm.
he was in Withybush. And so until I got married, we never had turkey on Christmas Day. We make our own ravioli, handmade.
Right.
They're called agnolini. And so and they're very labour intensive, you can imagine, everyone's made individually. So Christmas Day, my mother cooked some of the agnolini, they're cooked in broth, and she put them in a flask. And my father took them up to Withybush to him with a bottle of Chianti. And he was really annoyed because they wouldn't let him have the wine. He was able to have the agnolini, but the medical staff said he couldn't have the wine. He was very upset about that.
My goodness.
So
he never forgot the Italian roots
the
side of it then. So was he a good cook? Do you remember
him? I don't know. He never cooked for us. Whenever he came to us, he never cooked.
So he obviously came to you to be spoilt, really. Then.
I think in a way it was a refuge. He could be comfortable and he could be himself. And he didn't. He was just him, you know.
Sitting in the armchair with his with his drink.
So when you say he was very talented, when he was growing up, did he go back to Italy, to the family home? Would he have visited Italy, or is it just part of the character that he was?
I don't remember specifically. I'm guessing he did, on the basis that Anthony was in Bettola the same year as we were.
Right.
I'm guessing he did, but I don't remember specifically. I was quite young. I was quite young, really. I mean, he died in, was it 1980? 1980, what would I have been? 21.
Mm. Okay.
So, and by then I'd been in college for a couple of years, I'd been away, so.
Yeah.
So apart from the always staying close to his Italian roots in terms of his character and the way he was, what other words would you use to describe him? So was he, for example, very intense and thoughtful, or was he more sort of outward going? Because this is where the Italian influence probably plays as well.
So I would say outward going.
Yeah.
He always had a comment and a laugh and a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But in typical, so the fact that John used to come in typical Italian fashion, very family oriented, he was very kind.
Okay.
So, and I think he was genuinely kind. It wasn't just the fact that he was a priest as well. So, as an example, my parents had a business in High Street. We lived above the business in High Street.
Mm-hmm.
And we had accommodation there. So when he came up against situations where, and I remember one in particular where there was a domestic abuse situation, a lady and her two sons, and he came to see my father and they moved in to our accommodation. Until they were housed by the local authority. So he was very decent like that, and I think that was as much an Italian thing as a church thing.
Yes.
You know, in Italy, that the families, to this day, families live together. They live on different floors in the same building.
Yeah.
So there's a greater degree of closeness and a greater degree of looking after each other.
And taking responsibility for helping people as well.
Yes.
I mean, that's something that's coming out as well, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, that's really, really good. Is there anything else that you can think of that you think would be a really good story or aspect of his life that would be good to capture as part of this project?
I remember odd things, you know, those are the things I remember. So it was, we were at midnight mass one Christmas, when midnight mass used to be at midnight. And we always, and all that one year, it's the only year it ever happened, all of my father's family came to Haverbrest to stay with us for Christmas. Other than that, every other Christmas we went to Cardiff to be with my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And it was communion. We were in the new part. We always sat in the new part of the church. And we were right by the door into the sacristy. And he was doing communion.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a chap came into the old part off Dew Street and he was drunk. And Father Paul went around and he just said, and because this fellow was standing there and he was shouting, and he said, "Can somebody remove this man, please?" And he went round again and he was still there and he said, "Can somebody remove this man, please?" And nobody moved, and he went round again and he said, "Can somebody remove this man, please, or I'll do it myself?" And nobody moved. So my father and his brother and two brother-in-laws in the end got, and they were in the furthest possible place away, but they were the only ones who would move and walk around and very kindly and politely escort this
and firmly
escort this man out of the church. He didn't realize what he was doing.
No.
But he would have if nobody else had moved. He would have, there was no question about that. So I remember the kind of quirky things.
But that's
about
part
him.
Of what makes someone who they are, isn't it? Because they're the things that stick in your memory, particular events. When someone is around you and you know them as a person, it's only really the events that trigger the memories, isn't it?
Yes.
It's often the day-to-day. You've probably got lots of things that you don't realise you remember, and then little things will trigger them, won't they?
Yes.
That's the thing. So really, just to kind of wrap up, really, how would you say he impacted your life? What has he left you in terms of your memories and your thoughts about him?
So he's left me more personal memories than related to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, as far as we were concerned, he was family. So he belonged. That is how we function. So I suppose just all the good things. The kindness, the caring. He was very humorous. He was very funny. But he was such a good man.
Mm-hmm.
He just was a good man. Going back to the Vespa for a minute, I don't know how far back the archives go, but there was a photo in the local paper of him with the Vespa.
Really?
Yes, I remember that being in there because I remember my father saying about it. So it probably would have been the Western Telegraph.
What I was going to say, probably.
I can't remember. There was the Guardian. The Guardian was there
mm-hmm.
at the time. They were around the corner. But I would say, but there definitely was a photograph of him standing beside his Vespa.
So he probably became quite well known with it then.
Yes.
Well, he was very well known. I came in 1990, so 10 years after he had died. But I know from talking to people around town who have no connection with church or anything, how well known he was by everybody around town, and it was his kindness and willing to help anybody that people would ask him to officiate at funerals, even though they weren't church going and so on like that, because they knew he would do it well for somebody, and he knew such a lot of people through the Domino's League and what I've heard, and you know.
And it's, again, it's an Italian thing. They're very sociable.
Yeah.
Mm.
It is a sociable thing. And they're very, very community driven.
Yeah.
You know, the very fact that people go back to where they came from.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it's a culture. It's,
mm.
it's a different culture in lots of ways to many parts of the UK. Not everywhere in the UK, but he definitely, from a community perspective, it's about the people.
Yeah.
It is about the people, and that came through very strongly through him.
Thank you very much, Nikki.
You're welcome.
That has been absolutely fantastic, and thank you for sharing some photos. Would we be able to get copies of those as well?
These, yes, you can. I'm just, I did write some notes. There's nothing, there was nothing else I can think of. Yeah, if I find that one.
Yeah.
I'll bring it up. I can't think for the life of me where it can be. We've definitely got it. He did genuinely smoke too much.
Really?
Oh, yes.
That might have contributed.
Mm. Quite possibly.
Well, if you think of the era, a lot of people did.
But he smoked a lot.
What did he smoke? Was he a cigarette or a cigar?
Oh, cigarettes.
Mm.
I can't see. I can't see. I can see him sitting there with a packet, but I don't know what it was. He did. He was a heavy smoker.
Yeah.
But yes, lots of people were.
Mm.
It was
very.
People didn't know.
There weren't the health notices that there are now.
No, there was no.
It seemed very much as a social thing as well, wasn't it?
Yes,
you know,
it was
a And maybe again, if you think about it, you've got someone who's interacting with the community a lot in lots of different social situations, smoking was just a natural part of that, wasn't it?
Well, I think people just did anyway.
Yeah. Well, thank you again very much, Nikki.
That's okay.
It's been an excellent addition to what will be a very special project, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You want to maybe scan these too?